may be seated. Maybe we should just keep this going. No. It's beautiful, though. Beautiful. Praise to Yahweh. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. The dinner today is really something special. Don't miss it. Some of the greatest cooks in the world that's prophesied to be in these last days, by the way. And if I get to that, yeah, that's right. You don't believe me, but it's here. It's prophesied. I know some don't believe that, but it's actually prophesied. In a world of defilement, one of the things that it's really bothersome, especially if you're a parent or plan on having a family. But the world is getting so defiled, and of course they're blaming this on white sugar, I guess, and salt and and honey. Don't feed them honey, boy. All the things that are healthy for them. They blame it on everything except what they should be blaming it on and what you should be blaming it on. And you better get this. Everybody better listen to this, because it's something you need to believe. And if you'll believe it, then you'll start seeing what I'm saying, what the Scripture says, and what is the real cause for what we're facing here today. It's not white sugar, I can guarantee you that. But the birth defects, the causes, and the statistics, the congenital disorders, birth defects are disorders that are referred to as congenital disorders. This means that they are conditions that are present at birth. Now, somehow or another, of course, this condition got there before the birth. Of course, that's what you need to see, and Yahweh shows you how it does, and then how it's transferred from person to person and comes on down to the baby. Right now, they're saying there's over 3,000 known conditions, 3,000 known conditions that are recognized by the March of Dimes Birth Defects Foundation. These conditions include, and it lists several of them here, and more than 60% of birth defects have no known cause. Now, I think sometimes they lie some about this, because, back in the 50s, we knew, when I was working in the State Board of Health Laboratories, we knew that birth defects was being caused, and we knew what was causing them. And I mentioned it a few times, and I was agreed with some of the top doctors there in the health department. But think of this now. Over 3,000 known conditions are recognized by the March of Dimes Birth Defects Foundation. And then they say most of them, they don't know what causes them, but they're recognized. And then they turn right around and say genetic birth defects are the most common of birth defects and are to blame for about 25%. I'd say it's more like 95% of congenital birth defects. Around 4% of birth defects are attributed to maternal disorders. Between 3 and 5% of birth defects are caused from infections that are passed between the baby and the mother. Drugs and medication taken by the mother cause the remaining 1%, only 1% of these birth defects that are recognized by the March of Dimes Birth Defects Foundation. Reducing 13 million paternal births, 3.2 million stillbirths, critical to meeting global maternal and child health goals. a new report identifies the enormous global impact of preterm birth, stillbirth, globally, an estimated 13 million babies are born preterm each year. Newborn deaths now account for more than 42% of mortality in children under the age of five. Now, this means they were born with a birth defect, but they died by the age of 5 years old, between birth and the age of five, a rise of 37% in the year 2000. If you got that, there was a rise from 2000 on, 37%. Additionally, an estimated 3.2 million are stillborn each year, and many of these losses are linked to maternal deaths. Preterm births is the number one cause of newborn deaths worldwide. 1 million stillbirths occur each year during childbirth. Now, I'm going to save this other because I've got to get some scriptures in your mind for you to understand what is coming next. Now, in food processing, food has got to be processed, of course. Everything has got to be processed to eat. You can eat some fruits. You can eat some fruits and vegetables raw, but even that has to be processed. Yahweh tells you you've got to sprinkle it with salt before you eat it, which is a process that you use, of course, to draw out vitamins and minerals in your body, that so your body can use the vitamins and minerals from the raw fruits or vegetables. That's a process that the food must go through according to Scripture. There's other processes that's spoken of in the Holy Scriptures, but any fruits and vegetables that you pick, the picking of it is a process. The sacking of it is a process. The washing of it is a process. Cutting it, cooking it, or eating it raw, you have to process it in order to use it. So there's nothing wrong with processing food. We've had people that got on the kick of cooking food, you know, saying this kills the food. It doesn't kill the food. You know, when I was 18 years old, I knew that. I knew there's as many vitamins in the water that you cooked it with as there was in the food. It don't go away. It don't kill it unless you go to extreme with your cooking. Neither does frying, boiling, or anything like that. Beef. The beef process, when you start with a live animal, then Yahweh calls his priests guards. That's the way he identifies them. He also identifies his cooks as guards over this and the vegetables too, because, you know, people change fruits and vegetables. There's thousands of ways of doing this, and of course GM is expert as it right now. It's almost like it was inspired by someone, and I know it wasn't Yahweh that did it, although he's allowing it. But working with live animals is really a thing that should be done by only educated people. And the reason the earth is in such a mess right now is because uneducated people in Yahweh's laws, and I'm talking about Yahweh's laws being uneducated in Yahweh's laws, is bringing a great deal of death, sickness, disease, that Scripture calls, of course, abominations. And the word abominable is used there. Abomination is when the animal is sick, and of course, if you are unclean, and then if you handle this differently from what Yahweh tells you to handle it, then you become a bondable, which means you can pass this on to other animals or to human beings. The defilement of that animal or the sickness, you can actually pass it on the great wise man Solomon said, put a knife to your throat. Put a knife to your throat before you go to the king's table to eat food that hasn't been koshered by Yahweh's priest or pronounced kosher by Yahweh's priest. It's that dangerous. You're cutting your own throat. The beef, if it's not koshered, it contains life within the blood. You can take beef that has not been kosher killed. You can soak it in salt to pull this out. But the salt takes a bunch of the life out of the beef. I ate some of it in Israel, and the first time I was there, and I asked them, what is this? Because it tastes like I was eating the sole of a shoe. And the meat was white, you know. It looked like cotton and tastes worse than cotton. But you can get the blood out, but it takes all the life out of it too when you do this. And of course, you don't drink the bloody water after you get through koshering the steak. You must throw that away. The fruit juice that you cook, you can actually drink that or add it to your soups and stews. Makes a wonderful, healthy soup or stew later. So does the beef broth or the chicken broth if the meat is prepared by the butcher that Yahweh refers to as cooks or butchers. The word has many meanings, as we'll cover. But if the animal is not sick. Now, if the animal's sick, then you're supposed to be educated to recognize the sickness and not let that get into your food supply. We've had many animals that we have slaughtered because our men that I've trained in this myself and urged them to study on their own too, but they'd call me and say, this animal has so-and-so, and I'd ask where did you see it, and they'd tell me, and I'd say, "Well, let's go ahead and get it out of its misery and do away with it in the rightful fashion." But we do not feed them to the animals. We don't feed them to the dogs even. We we don't eat them ourselves either. But that's not to be said of the perverted world, which you know yourself. You've seen the specials. You've seen how this is taken. Sick animals, as long as they can walk, and they help them to walk. They even take forklifts and pick them up and help them to walk, and they go ahead and put them in your food. And this is what you're eating when you go to the perverted world to eat. I saw this for a long time and could do nothing about it, and I worked towards it. I worked for years trying to get a setup to where we would not need to do this. And of course, it's been very costly, very time-consuming, but we are to that point now where we can actually do it. And praise Yahweh. But it takes a lot of knowledge. It takes a lot of study, a lot of effort. It takes a lot of determination because it's loss, a loss of money. And when money is tight, that really hurts. Chickens, the same way. Now, a chicken, as I've brought out many times, Yahweh made the curl of a chicken to where it would actually separate things that a chicken can eat, many things. There's some things that they can't eat, some things that our men recognize. One of them is limber neck, and they know instantly what causes that now. And, of course, those chickens are discarded. But there's other things that we watch for. When the chicken is being processed, we watch for it. And any discoloration or anything like that is taken to the priest that examine it and just like we're told to do in the Holy Scripture. Well, the priest has to be trained before they can do that, of course, and know what is poison and what is not. And when I say poison, I mean it's harmful, defiled, and shouldn't be eaten. Defeathering a chicken, you find some things there that if the chicken is sick or unclean in any way, has been defiled in any way, it will show. Fish. In processing fish, and they must be processed, we kosher kill the fish from our own ponds, and of course this eliminates some things. The organs of a fish, as any well-trained rabbi knows, and of course they study this too. As we do. They don't always follow their own laws. That's a problem. But they do study them, and they know what a fish's organs are supposed to do, and what and when they don't do it, they know that. And this year was the first time I've ever seen it. But before Passover, many of the rabbis said we're not going to pronounce these fish kosher. And they named about five different fish that they said the parasites were now getting through the organs and into the meat. Now, other rabbis said, I'm sure, they said, or their group, we're sure that enough cooking would kill these parasites, so go ahead, we're not worried about it, go ahead and eat it. But the others said, no, you better not, because these parasites are getting through these organs for some reason. Now, they can't understand why they're getting past the organs. Now, I've been bringing you some articles to show why they're getting by. Because of mutations of the DNA, and I'll show you more of that today, but I started years ago to bring you this, and I'd urge you to go back and get those sermons again and listen to them. If you were asleep or didn't pay attention to some of this, you missed a lot of great information here. But certain things, because of the lust of man, it's also getting into the fish population. And of course, it's changing the DNA. Once the DNA is changed in a fish, they start losing that protection that Yahweh built into the fish and the chicken also. So if it gets into the chicken, the wonderful thing about that is, you know, you can tell when a chicken is sick. You don't always tell with fish unless, that is, if you catch him with a net, you don't tell. A sick fish won't bite a hook. That's one thing that helps us a lot right there. But the other thing is examining the meat. We had some men that went to the wrong place. I could have told them, don't go there, you know, because I know the lake and I know the water supply that and what is being dumped there. So I would have told them, no, don't go catch fish out of that place and try to eat it. Well, of course, they noticed the things that they'd been told to look for. They noticed them right away, so they got scared and threw the fish away. Well, we sent them back and told them to go catch some more. And but we wanted the pictures of it and to show the difference, of course. Well, we got them now, and they'll be doing some ads. Our butcher and the Kohans that work with him, with the butchers, there's more than one now, and they're training, the priests are training also in this field. But the fish, of course, you can see the parasites if you know what to look for and have the equipment to examine it. Well, we've got our cameras now to where we magnify it and show you what is in some of the fish that are being raised in contaminated waters. polluted waters. And this pollution, it, believe it or not, it comes back to man's uncontrolled lust. And this is what the scripture shows, and this is what I'm going to tell you, and this is what I'm going to stand on. It's not white sugar. It's not honey or salt. It's man's lust that is causing this. But the fish, you can rest assured that when it's brought here to the cafeteria, it's been examined. It's been kosher killed and then cleaned properly, kept clean, and then it's brought here clean with no parasites in it, at least any that the eye can detect, which Yahweh gives us that to go by and shows us what to look for. Well, that's just beef, chicken, and fish now. Eggs, fish eggs, caviar is so healthy. If you just study what's in caviar, you would want it for your brain. it might even help, to get rid of what you put there in the past years through stupidity. But it would help you if you did eat a lot of it. It's hard to make. It's hard to, because it has to be washed in a certain way. And salt has got to be used in a certain way, and you've really got to watch what you're doing, or you'll ruin it. Once it's ruined, you just throw it away. You can't do anything with it. Hen eggs. I never heard of this one before. I never heard of anything getting in a hen egg until here a couple of months ago, and then we saw something. We called the county. I said, call the county extension agent first and see if he knows. Well, of course he didn't, but we called the college that is up on it. And of course they knew exactly what we were talking about. And we asked, well, what is the statistics? Or maybe we didn't ask, maybe they just told us. But they said it was about one in every 10 million that you would ever find this in an egg. But watch your eggs. If you see anything that's not that you think doesn't look like part of that egg, and you should be familiar with it, if you're eating at home and doing your own cooking, be sure and watch. And you can see it. If you touch it just properly, you'll see it move also. So, and I'm sure cooking would kill it. I'm not sure it would be safe for you even after it was cooked and killed. But do watch the inspection, inspection of this thing. Let's turn over to First Samuel. Samuel, he was one of the blessed prophets of Yahweh. And, of course, he gives us a lot of information here because he was inspired to do so, of course. So he brought us information that some of the other prophets didn't bring to us. But in 1 Samuel 9, and notice verse 23. Now, this was after, if you remember, in verse chapter 8, where the priest, chapter 7, you'll see that the priests that was scattered throughout Israel, they called them elders. They were scattered throughout Israel. Samuel had his circuits, and he would go from one to another, and he would hold meetings at different places, and he would answer the priest questions for them, which they would save for him to answer. And of course, then eventually he would wind up back at the original house of Yahweh at Abel. And of course, in this process, there was writing done by him and his attendants that helped him. He had a school of prophets also that worked with him. And so they did writing for us. And of course, this that we're reading here, I doubt if Samuel wrote it all, but he was a great contributor to it. in that time period. But if you look at verse 23, chapter 8 shows us, chapter 7 shows us the trouble that Israel got into by not listening to Samuel. He was the one sent at that time, and then they come to him begging because they got in trouble. When they wound up in Hendricks Hospital, they called him and said, that we need help. You know, sometimes it takes a shock, you know, to people to wake them up. And of course, when the silver cord is broken, as one of the great prophets said, you know, do it before the silver cord is broken and you can save your life and save your position in Yahweh's kingdom also. But if you wait till the silver cord is broken, you may have lost your chance of getting in or preserving this, and you may have let another take your crown, as one of the apostles said. But they came to him, and he prayed for them, and he said, do this. Get rid of these gods out of the house of Yahweh. Get them out of here. Get them out and stop worshiping in this fashion. They were keeping Easter. They had already turned back to eating pork. Now, whether they did this knowingly or whether it was just mixed in the king's foods, we don't know. But we know that they were eating pork, as Isaiah, the great prophet, said they were. But it's an addiction, yes. It's an addiction like, you know, last month, I believe it was, I was talking to the men that the priest that's in on the animal protection and guarding the food, and I said, you know, this is a craving. It's almost like stopping smoking cigarettes. If you've ever smoked cigarettes, then you know what I'm talking about. But eating pork is an addiction, but it's not actually the pork that they are craving, because pork has no taste. It's a tasteless meat, especially the fat, unless you've got some kind of seasoning or something in it. What they're craving is the smoke flavor that's made with sugar cure. And of course they use artificial smoke. We use the real thing from mesquite wood that we have abundance of here in Texas. Well, anyway, these kings, they got rid of their gods and their god worship. They got it out of them. They repented, so Yahweh saved them and brought the artifacts back to the house of Yahweh again that the other kings had stole from them and took it to their own temples that they had built here and there, as they called them, throughout Israel, but also Babylon and different places throughout the Mediterranean, actually. But they got rid of all of this. They stopped eating the pork. They all repented. So Yahweh showed them his great power in a mighty way and saved them all. And then about 400 years later or 100 years later, I forgot what it was, they came to Samuel again. And, of course, they said, we don't want Yahweh to rule over us anymore. You know, he got us out of that mess, and we're all right now. We can protect ourselves. So that is in chapter 8. Now, in chapter 9 here, Samuel said to the cook, yes, they had cooks back then, women cooks, in fact, but we had some griping about that we was supposed to be the priest cooking. Well, the priest can cook certain things. I've seen them barbecue. They can do them burnt offerings really, really well. I'm one of the best, you know, and I taught them. But if you want some real cooking, you know, the cafeteria, the cooks there, they spend their life at learning and doing it. Anyway, Samuel said to the cook, he said, bring out the portion I gave you, saying to you, set it apart. Well, of course, he set it apart for Saul. So the cook brought the thigh with its upper part and set it in front of Saul. Then Samuel said, "Here is what has been kept for you. Eat, because it was set apart for you for this occasion, which is the reason for inviting the people." So Shaul ate with Samuel that day. And that's all we need of this story. You can go back and read it later. But he was just telling the cook here what to do so he could go and anoint Shaul for this office that Yahweh had chosen him for. Now I want you to go back with this in mind about the cook and go back to chapter 8 here and look at verse 13. We changed this as the new King James, I think, or NIV, the NIV manuscripts had it. We changed it, so we got to go back to the King James Version in order for me to get the right word for you. But I'd like to never found this, you know, because I couldn't remember the word. And it's only in the King James Version, but I did find it for you. But here in verse 13, he said, "He will take." Now this is where they were wanting kings to rule over them, and he's telling them here they're going to take your cooks. Before this took place, now in the house of Yahweh, when it was set up the way it was supposed to be set up, like the garden of Yahweh, the great garden of Yahweh, where Yahweh prepared the meal and he fed the people. And of course, offerings were brought to Yahweh at the house of Yahweh, at the great garden of Yahweh, and they were either pronounced kosher, or he says, "No, this is not kosher. You can't bring this in like this." If you remember, this was being said by the priest much, much later on, even in Malachia, it was said, "Don't bring these offerings to Yahweh, they're defiled," he said. Well, the same thing was said to Cain, of course, in the great garden of Yahweh, but the way it was set up, it wasn't like everyone had to do everything for himself. It was more like a moshav, and they had a center for eating. They had a center for washing clothes. They had people for washing clothes. They had people for washing dishes. They had people for cooking. People could work. They could come and work and put in a shift for a certain length of time. Priests too, the kosher priests. They only had to work one moon out of every four. You know, that's a lot of leisure time. And of course, when King Solomon, where you find a lot of this information, is under King Solomon's reign and the way he set it up at that time. And of course, it was, they said the lowest slave, you couldn't buy the lowest slave's job. It was that pleasant for the lowest slave. Well, of course, Yahshua was the lowest slave to us, and he did what the lowest slave was doing. So you can imagine what the lowest slave, how much he loved that job and wanted to hang on to it, because they said money could not buy that man out of his job. Now this is what history says. So I know I brought this out before, but anyway, I just wanted to bring this back to your attention before we read this, because of the fact that this was the way that Samuel had it set up. And of course, with each one of the places where he toured, so to speak, he would travel from the house of Yahweh to another house of Yahweh, or a section where they held services to train people to kosher food, to eat properly, and so forth. They also had their own kitchens here and there throughout Israel. And Samuel then would travel from place to place, and he would teach these people what to do, how to enjoy life to the fullest. And of course, everybody worked. The apostles they started this, but they suffered so much persecution, they were shut down. But they did start this, and so you can see bits of this of this information that I'm telling you, you can see it in the apostles' work after Yeshua had already been killed and took his place in heaven at the right hand of Yahweh. But in Samuel's time, they had a central kitchen like they did in the days of the Garden of Yahweh, the great Garden of Yahweh. And the food was brought there. They had cooks to cook it and the people to eat it and people to serve it. Certain ones served, certain people ate, others served, other people ate. But it was done by professionals. The kosher killing was done by the kosher killer. the man who slaughtered the animals. And you find that in the word cook, the Hebrew word for cook. You actually find that in that word, in the description of it, that he was a slaughterer, he was a killer, but he was a kosher killer. and of course, the egg breaker, yes, they had an egg breaker. And this egg breaker watched for and made sure that the egg was not defiled. First off, it couldn't be cracked. It couldn't have a hole in it, you know, because bacteria would start coming into it. So these are things that they had to watch for. And then if there was anything in that egg, this is not new now. We found out that this thing that actually gets into the egg, one in every 10 million or so, I forget the number, but it was really high, that little bug is necessary for chickens to do their work, their bodies, inside their bodies, which is a team of armies, a huge team of armies made up of about 3 trillion or 30 trillion. I can't remember the number. When it gets past 100, I can't remember. My mind don't go that high. But it's something like 30 trillion kingdoms inside a chicken's body doing its work so you can enjoy the egg that Yahweh made for you, because he made the chicken for you to lay eggs and for meat for you, for food for you. Now imagine that. And that little parasite that we would call a parasite, it's actually a necessary being that's in that, it's not supposed to be in the egg though. It's supposed to be in another part of the body. But somehow or another, with the change of a DNA, an injury or something like this, it got through, one did, into an egg. Well, the person is trained to look for it, of course. And the Hebrew people, when they were brought out of Israel, Moshe gave them these laws and they taught them, they trained them extensively in these laws. And even after they trained them, there was people still wanting to slaughter their own animals, leave the blood in. And of course, they weren't doing it right. They wanted to do it and they thought they knew how, and nobody's going to tell me what to do, so I'm going to drink the blood. And it's just that stubborn, idiotic attitude that got them in trouble. And you see this in the scriptures. If you'll watch, you'll see this rebellion. And they finally said, don't kill any animals away from the temple because you're eating the blood. Well, how did they know that? Of course, the captains over 10s, over 50s, 20s, and so forth. And so when they came to the priest for an answer, he said, well, just stop this slaughtering animals away from the temple until we can get everyone trained in this field so they can do it themselves at their own homes, and they won't be eating this blood, because people were eating blood, getting sick, having heart attacks, having heart problems, blood disease. Yes, that all comes with eating the blood of animals. That's one of the causes of it. Okay, now, in this part here, in chapter 8, Samuel is saying, this is what the kings are going to do. They're going to change this wonderful setup that you have here that is so much leisure time. Well, what do the kings of the East want with this leisure time? We're wanting to build empires. We're the empire builders. We're the schools of higher learning. We can hire all kinds of servants. We can just take your servants away from you and bring them to suit ourselves. We want power. We want authority. Do you know, Yeshua said, You know, that the rulers rule over the people. And those who have more authority than the rulers rule over that bunch. This is the kind of setup that Yeshua was warning his disciples of. And he says, it won't be this way. You can't be this way and be part of Yahweh's kingdom. In Yahweh's kingdom, it's a kingdom of service. That's what you found in the Garden of Yahweh, the great Garden of Yahweh, a kingdom of servants where everyone was serving everyone else. It took very little time. And that the way this was set up, it took very little of the individual's time to do this. The people who could not work, they were not required to work. The people who could work, whether it was washing vegetables, washing dishes, pots and pans, whatever the person could do, they were allowed to do it for a certain length of time, but only so much that the lowest slave, you couldn't get him out of his position. No way. Now that's how wonderful it was in the kingdom of Yahweh. Now, Samuel says here in 8, he said, they're going to change what we have set up here. It wasn't just a change and saying, we want a king and we're going to elect kings. No, they changed the whole process that Yahweh had set up from the beginning in the great garden of Yahweh. Well, we're in 1 Samuel 8 now. Look at verse 13 with that in mind. He will take your daughters and appoint them to be his perfumers, cooks, and bakers. The King James, if you got a King James, you can go back and look this up in it. Let me see if I can show you. I doubt if I can get that close enough where you could read it, but we'll try. But I blew up a copy of the King James Version to show you this word. Can you see that confectioner? Your confectioner. Confectionaries. This word means, the word confection means, first off, it means a maker. Means a maker, a candy maker, other sweet, it says, ice cream. Well, you wonder now, where did they get ice cream in that time period? They actually transported snow from the tops of mountains, and which they had a supply of all the time, as we do in the United States. And have you? How many here have eaten snow ice cream? Raise your hand. Well, a lot of you. Great. Praise Yahweh. The way I made it, the way I make it, I still make snow ice cream. You don't want to make it on the first snow. If you can have a time when it comes a pretty heavy snow and then wait, don't get it then, but clean you a place off in the yard or someplace or lay a piece of metal down, a clean metal, and if it's going to snow again, then you get the second snow, it'll be clean. The first snow is contaminated. This is more of the perversion that we're trying to get you out of when we say don't have relations with animals. We're trying to get you out of this perversion. That's why the snow, the first snow that comes down, is polluted. It has this pollution in it. It brings it down and puts it into the earth. The earth supposedly cleans it, but the earth can't clean all the pollution that we have made through our lust now. So the earth is polluted. It's defiled. Well, anyway, the second snow is normally clean. And you can take that snow and you can take a quart of it, break a couple of eggs into it, put some vanilla flavoring in it, and start whipping it up. And you just simply add more snow until you get the thickness you want, the texture you want, and a lot of white sugar. Use a lot of white sugar. It is wonderful, I tell you. They don't use honey in making ice cream because honey keeps it from freezing. You can find that out the hard way if you got one of these old crank ice cream makers and you try to sweeten your ice cream with honey. but it does sweeten with sugar real well. And sugar is very healthy for you. I'm going to start bringing you some things, showing you how healthy sugar is for you very soon. I've got piles of it. But this word that the King James translated, and he will take your daughters to be confectionaries, and that is candy makers, other sweets as ice cream, one who makes or sells candy or other confections. Confectionery shop is a candy shop. Well, that's what this word is, but we followed some other translations here or other manuscripts, and we put it the way we put it. But I think, I always go back to this word. We made some mistakes when we did this, but I think we put it perfumers, which that's another word for them, of course. Samuel was saying to you, you're going to get things changed a lot here that you're not going to like. He will take your daughters and appoint them to be his perfumers, his cooks, and his bakers. But this is private, see? Well, of course, the empire builders, they wanted their own private cooks and ice cream makers and candy makers, but they wanted it private. See? Well, they had the money to afford it. Where did that leave the poor man? Because this put the poor man out when the empire builders took over. They put people to work. And they said, you work this many hours a day, this many days a week. And where do you find that? In Egypt. Look up how they had it in Egypt. This was the bondage that Yahweh took them out of and took them back to the garden of Yahweh. And they had abundant living, pure and simple, very healthy living, because everybody knew what he was doing and what to look for, so you wouldn't be getting contaminated food. In the king's house, in the empire builders, you come and work for me 8 hours a day, 5 days a week or 6 days a week, and then you go home and you do your own cooking or whatever it is you have to do, or go play around. But I'll have somebody there to serve you, you know. I'll have some other people there to serve you food. It'll be unkosher food, but you can go there and buy you a meal. But this is the difference in Yahweh's leisurely way of life, full abundant living, healthy living, and what Samuel said you're getting into here. Because he's going to take your best, the smartest people, and he's going to bring them to work for him. And the empire builders will take the others. Well, you didn't have what's left. In 1 Samuel 8 and verse 14, he says, he will seize your best fields, your vineyards, your olive groves, and give them to his officials. Well, this too was what they had and could use in common the way Yahweh had it set up. This, the word cook here, it means butcher, hence a life guardsman. So what this is talking about in the Hebrew word was the guardsman was to guard the animals, is also to guard the trees and see that it wasn't changed and the seed was not changed. Not polluted like it is today in many ways. They were to guard against these things. I've already brought you information on that, so I don't see any need in elaborating at this time. Because acting, back to the definition, because acting as an executioner, also a cook, as usually slaughtering the animals for food, cook and guard. That's what is in the Hebrew word. That is translated cook there in those two verses. Corn, it's got to be processed. There again, you can get in trouble if you are eating corn and you don't know what's healthy and what's not healthy. They do make, Yahweh made certain bugs, you'd call them worms probably, But they are a protector, and they normally get in the upper part of corn. That don't make the corn bad. It actually shows a protection that Yahweh put in there that is guarding to keep the corn from becoming contaminated before you eat it. If there's nothing there to bring that bug, he wouldn't be there. But something must be there, and that then the bug that turns into a worm that is brought in with the wind from a tiny cell. It's just a tiny cell, but it floats around all the time. It's like yeast. But where there's something for this tiny cell to eat, it will go to it. And when the corn is in the right stage and the shuck is just in the right stage, and this parasite that could poison your body is coming and invading the corn, which is needful for other things now. The parasite is needful for other things, but he's invaded the wrong thing when he gets in your ear of corn. So the worm then, that is then just a tiny cell, is floating in the air. This is the firmament that Yahweh made for man. So the tiny cell, like yeast, you know what yeast is and how it floats in the air. You breathe it all the time. It's here. You can't see it, but it's there. Many, many other helpful organisms are also in the air. Well, one of these protects your corn. And of course, if you got field corn and it's ready for you to eat, you know, you like fresh corn, then if it invades it, then this other bug then that's floating in the air, it comes in and goes into the shuck to get rid of this other parasite, and it turns into a protective agent that gets rather big. But when it first goes in, you can't see it, of course. Okay, now that's a protection for your corn. Now what does man do? In order to stop the first bug, he sprays with poisons to stop the first bug. Well, that eliminates the need for the second bug, but the second bug is what he should have wanted instead of the spray, because the first bug that was there was actually that he sprayed to kill was invading his corn. He also ruined his corn. And ruined the development of it. When the second bug comes, it lets your corn go ahead and develop and keep bringing in the nutrients and the minerals from the ground. Once you spray it and it doesn't get this protection, then it also stops bringing the food from the ground up to the corn. All it brings then, after that, is the oxygen and water. And of course, it makes it grow. It's still growing, but it doesn't have the great nutrients that you want in organic corn. I'm sure a lot of you organic corn raisers know this, but the food supply, it's a never-ending study. The peanuts, they must be processed, but peanuts are very healthy when they're raised properly. When they're organic, when they're raised, you know, properly, then they're very great for you. Wheat. It's got to be processed. If you look at Ruth and Boaz's work that we did on that, you'll see that the women were involved in wheat making. Even though they were separated, they were involved in wheat making. Now, I want you to go over to the Savior now. And we can't leave the Savior out of this, because he tells you what to look for and what not to look for. And if you don't trust in his words, you're not going to be with him, because he's the judge. He is the judge, the supreme judge, the high priest right now, over the house of Yahweh. Only Yahweh is over Yahshua. And you go to Matithiah here, 15, Matithiah 15, and we see some things that he says causes defilement. And you better start believing what he said here, or you're going to be in trouble. And you're going to go to the point to where I can't get you out of it later. Just keep going, and you'll die in your sins And then that is it. I can't help you after that. I can only help you now. If you'll listen to my words and listen to what I'm telling you that the Savior tells you here. He says, chapter 15, verse 11, it is not what goes into the mouth of a man that defiles a man, but that which comes out of the mouth that defiles a man. Of course, this is hard to understand, and the only way you can understand it is understand all that I've said here already, but then you've got to have some more. And if I took the time right now, we would probably close around 3 or 4 o'clock this evening. So I'll shut it off right here. I'll shut it off right here, and next week, next Sabbath, if I speak next Sabbath, we will pick up there. And then you will understand why Yahshua said what he said. But he's given you some understanding here that is very needful for today's world and to understand what it is that's causing this whole thing. It's not white sugar. It's not honey and it's not salt. And if you understand this, you will understand that yes, Yahweh made this stuff for you to eat. You can ruin it, yes. But you desperately need these things or Yahweh wouldn't have made them, and they'll be plentiful in the kingdom. Yahweh bless you, and I'll turn the services over to the next speaker.